Revelation chapter 18, verse 20, all the way to chapter 19, verse 10. This is the reading of God's word. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous. For he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they say, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, Give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, Write, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are true words of God. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through your word, you tell us the wonderful stories of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior and King. Oh Father, once again, bless us as we hear your word. Our faith will grow. And through the word that we will meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and through your word, that we'll be able to have heavenly fellowship with you and with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us see the glorious sight, not only the complete destruction of this world, but the beautiful and glorious sight of new heaven and new earth. our eternal home. But more importantly, let us be able to see the glorious sight of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is resurrected from the dead, now reigns forever and ever. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've been looking at the destruction, eternal destruction of the harlot from chapter 17 and all the way to the end of this book. We see two women, the harlot and the bride of the Lamb. The city of man and New Jerusalem. And in verses 21 through 24 of chapter 18, again we see the complete destruction of the city of man. It will not be found anymore, verse 21b. And complete silence. And we'll look at that verse. Those past verses 21 through 24 next time. But that complete silence is pointing to the common grace order being stopped. No everyday living in this world anymore. But we see the complete opposite in the New Jerusalem. See, you see two women, you see two cities, you see the difference between these two cities. One, complete destruction, thus complete silence. But in the other, complete opposite. In the New Jerusalem, verse 20, rejoice. Verse 19, 1, something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah, meaning praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belongs to our God. Verse 3 of 19, Hallelujah again. Verse 4, Amen, Hallelujah. Verse 5, give praise to our God. Verse 6, something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad, and give the glory to Him. Do you see the difference? A loud voice, shouts of joy, praising God and worshiping God. Complete opposite of the harlot who is completely destroyed. And in the New Jerusalem, as we read in our passage, chapter 19, verses 7 through 9, in the New Jerusalem there is an eternal wedding. There is an eternal, joyous wedding. Today, we will look at this wedding. We will look at this marriage. Then the next time, we will look at the destruction of the harlot in terms of verses 18, chapter 18, verses 20 through 24. Then the week after that, we will look at chapter 19, verse 8. And the eternal heavenly reality of the bride of the Lamb. That chapter 19, verse 8, some people might read that and think that that verse teaches salvation by works. And we need to address that. We need to deal with that. But today, we're going to look at this wedding. This glorious wedding in heaven. From the very, very beginning, God has created man as his bride. From the very beginning, God was our husband. Now, to the sinful world, this sounds ridiculous. But this is what the Bible teaches. God is our husband. That reality is shown clearly in the creation of Adam and Eve. From the very beginning, Eve was created as the wife of Adam. That was the whole purpose why Eve was created, to be the wife of Adam. And as you know, Eve was created from the body of man to be the body of man. Let us go to Genesis. Let us try to understand from the story of creation of Adam and Eve, what is God teaching us? Genesis chapter 2. And understanding this marriage or a married life is very, very important, not only for our own earthly marriage, but to understand our heavenly, eternal marriage. Genesis chapter 2, I will read from verse 21. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Now, we're going to look at these verses a little bit more closely next time, but I want you to see something. When Eve was created, and as soon as Adam sees Eve, he says what? "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Do you see it? Eve is the body of Adam. He understands. That's why he names her woman, because she was taken out of man, taken out of the body of man. But she is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, meaning she is my body. The two become one body. They are a husband and a wife. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm not going to wait for you. Just listen if you're not there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. "Now you are," meaning church, "you are Christ's body and individually members of it." Now, from Adam and Eve, you understand Eve being the body of Adam, and you understand what that means. It means now they are one body, they are husband and wife. Now, when we come to 1 Corinthians, God says, church is the body of Christ. So when Christ sees the church, he will say the same thing. "This is the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh," so to speak, because the church is the body of Christ. We are Jesus' wife. He is our husband. He is our eternal husband. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 clearly says the church is the body of Jesus Christ. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 5. Now, if church is the body of Christ, meaning that the church is the bride and Jesus is the husband, then what is our marriage all about? It is to witness that relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. You know, earthly people, sinful people, they marry for numerous reasons. But the Bible clearly teaches you marry so that through that marriage, you witness the relationship between Jesus Christ and His church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, be subject to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Now, Jesus does not just tell wives to just obey the husband. There's a reason why He tells that. There's reason why wives must obey husbands. Because through that relationship, you are to witness the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Now, church obeys Jesus Christ. Thus, wife must obey the husband. That's the reason. That's the goal. That's the purpose. Same thing to husbands. 25, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, because his wife is his body. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. Did you hear that? He quotes the Genesis passage that we read in Genesis chapter 2. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and two shall become one flesh. And all of a sudden he says, but I am referring to not just earthly marriage, but I am referring to what, he says? Reference to Christ and the church. So he understands that Genesis chapter 2 passage is actually referring to Christ and his church. That is Paul's understanding as he writes this. Nevertheless, each individual among you also is to love his own wife even as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. What does the relationship between a husband and wife point to? It witnesses the reality of heaven, in which our Lord Jesus Christ is our eternal husband and we are his eternal bride. This is the true meaning and purpose of our wedding and the marriage. This is why Christian cannot be married to non-Christians. How can non-Christian and Christian do this when one does not believe? Now, in the world, Of course, people get married because of many, many reasons. Some people marry because finance, you know, money. Some people because they're lonely. You know, all kinds of reasons. But if you're a Christian, you understand what God wants from marriage. It's to witness the relationship between Jesus Christ and the church. Now, if you lose that focus, then your marriage just lost the focus, biblical focus. From the very beginning, God created us as His bride, but we have rejected our husband and played harlot with Satan and this world. This is what sin is all about. This is how God describes sin. Whenever you sin, you're playing harlot. And that's what this world is all about. World doesn't care what the Bible says, what God says. And I don't have time to read all the Old Testament passages, and I'll try to read some, and even next time I will read more, how God describes sin as harlotry, prostitution. Go to Jeremiah chapter 3. And now in the Old Testament, and I will explain this more in detail next time, but in Old Testament, this playing harlot is in terms of worshiping idols, idolatry. But when you come to the New Testament, God says even greed is idolatry. So it's not just you making some kind of statue and bow down upon it. God is only referring to that kind of idolatry. But greed. You want to have things of this world. You want to have what other people have. That kind of greed is also idolatry. It's also playing harlot. Because you are not completely satisfied with your own husband, Jesus Christ. You need something else. You need this world. Now, you know, you go ask every girl, you know, who is married, every woman. Ask her if she's happy for her own husband is not completely satisfied with her and her alone. Nobody will be, unless you really, that you are really, truly a prostitute. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 20. God says, surely as a woman treacherously depart from her lover, so you have dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, declares the Lord. A voice is heard on the bare heights, the weeping and the supplications of the sons of Israel, because they have perverted their way, they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, O faithless sons. I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. So he describes their sinfulness in terms of this relationship between woman and her lover. You go to chapter 3, we are at chapter 3, go to verse 13. Only acknowledge your iniquity, that you have transgressed against the Lord your God and have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree. It's like a prostitute just playing harlot with every man just passes by. That's how God describes their sin. And you have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless sons, declares the Lord. For I am a master to you, and I will take you one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. And if you go to chapter 3, verse 1, God says this. If a husband divorces his wife and she goes from him and belongs to another man, will he still return to her? Will not that land be completely polluted? But you are a harlot with many lovers, yet you turn to me, declares the Lord. Lift up your eyes to the bare heights and see where you have not been violated. By the roads you have set for them like an Arab in the desert, and you have polluted a land with your harlotry and with your wickedness. Therefore, the showers have been withheld. Judgment comes. Yeah, if a wife goes to another man and she wants to come back, how many will receive her? But the Israelites, it's not just one man that she played harlot, but many lovers. But the story of the Bible is a love story that God loves his people. See, even when Israelites, they played harlots with all kinds of idols, but God, the eternal husband, never forsook his people. The filthy wife, God continued to love. He loved us to the end. Even according to the law, it was proper for God to forsake us. But he still loved us to the end. And that reality is witnessed through the prophet Hosea. Go to prophet Hosea, and if you have time at home, read Hosea. It's a beautiful story. Go to chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet an adulteress, even as the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes. Very interesting, because God commands Hosea to go and marry an adulteress. Actually, his own wife who have become adulterer. And here we need to understand the custom of Old Testament passage. Not Old Testament passage, custom of Old Testament marriage. Let me explain. First, there is the engagement. Just like we do, we have engagement. You know, when you want to marry somebody, first you engage. So first there is engagement, and then there is a period of preparation. Then after that period of preparation, man goes to her house and brings the wife to his or his parents' house to live forever. Thus consummate the marriage. Well, the engagement at the time is different than today. It was much more meaningful and serious. Once the couple is engaged, then, in the Old Testament, they are legally a husband and wife. It's not like today you get engaged. And every time, you know, I'm forced to watch a romantic comedy, it's all about that kind of stuff. You're already engaged, but you find better man. And then all the people wishing that, you know, he will go to the better one. You know, that's the whole movie about. But no, not in the Old Testament time. Once you're married, you're legally husband and wife. You cannot break it. Even though you are not consummated. This is how we are to understand Matthew chapter 1. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Do you remember the story of Joseph and Mary? Go to chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. The word betrothed is engagement. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, see, Joseph, they're only engaged, but Joseph is already her husband. Do you get that? Now, obviously, if they're married, then they're physically consummated, then, you know, there's no, you know, virgin birth then. But they're not. They're just engaged. But Joseph is called her husband already. Being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And you go down to verse 24. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Now, I don't like that translation, took Mary as his wife. If you have other translation, it will say, took unto him his wife. Not took Mary as his wife, but he took Mary who is his wife. That's better translation. And if you have a different than NASB, that's what you will find. NIV, I think, has same thing as NASB, but like King James, ASV, New King James, if you look at those, then it will say, he took unto him his wife, not as his wife. So that they were already engaged, so they were already husband and wife, and there was a period of preparation, and when that time is over, Joseph is to go and get Mary, his wife, and consummate, so that and bring her to his house, and there will be a marriage feast. And the marriage is finalized. But understand the Old Testament custom then. What God has commanded Hosea is even against the law of God. This is very interesting because you are not supposed to marry a harlot or adulterer. In this case, adulterous. Law forbids it. And yet here God commands Hosea to do this. But what is God doing? Through Hosea, God shows us what he has done for us. How he loved us until the end, even though we are filthy sinners who has rejected him and played harlots. Of course, what God has done is not against his own law, because he received us harlots as his wife through Jesus Christ. Jesus received the judgment. It is only through Jesus' blood on the cross and his righteousness that we are able to marry our Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. So God is not breaking the law by marrying us who are harlots, sinners. Because Jesus died for our sins. He received the judgment in our places. God loves His people to the end, even though they have rejected Him as their husband. And God promises His people, even in the Old Testament, there are so many places that God promises that He will marry His people, even though His people played harlots against Him. Let's read a few verses here. Isaiah 54. I'm going to just read fast here. Isaiah 54, verse 5 and 6. For your husband is your maker, whose name is the Lord of hosts, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, who is called the God of all the earth. For the Lord has called you like a wife forsaken and grieved in spirit, even like a wife of one's youth when she is rejected, says your God. For a brief moment I forsake you, but with great compassion I will gather you. Go to 62 verse 4. It will no longer be said to you, forsaken, nor to your land will it be it any longer be said, desolate, but you will be called, my delight is in her, and your land married, for the Lord delights in you, and to him your land will be married. For as a young man marries a virgin, so your sons will marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you. So his love for his people is compared to the love of the bridegroom towards his bride. Jeremiah chapter 31, very important chapter. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not like the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, declares the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and on their hearts I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Do you understand? God describes Israelites coming out of Egypt, and they stand before God at the Mount Sinai, and that covenant making is what? It's a wedding. It was a wedding vow they made, but they broke it. That's what God says in verse 32, right? My covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them. But God says, I will make a new covenant. And this covenant is not like the covenant they broke. Meaning that the new covenant is not breakable. Even as you sin, that marriage is not annulled or canceled. Hosea chapter 2. Verse 19. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. And 20. I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, then you will know the Lord. This is what the gospel is all about. God loving his bride who has played the harlot to the end he loves and comes to marry her forever. This is what the gospel is all about. A truly a love story. Understand. Even as we sin, the new covenant in which we belong cannot be broken. Our marriage to Jesus cannot be annulled, cannot be canceled, even when we sin. Why? Because our marriage covenant is through His death and His righteousness, which will never change. Yes, our God came to marry His wife who played the harlot. He came and cleansed her clean with His blood and dressed her with His righteousness. The white wedding dress points to this reality. Why do girls wear white wedding dress? Has a biblical meaning. Bible describes citizens of heaven as wearing white robes, pointing to the righteousness. Yes, you and I were just living like a prostitute, but Jesus came and cleansed us with His blood, and He dressed us with His righteousness. Now we are ready to get married to Him. We see this reality in the story of woman at the well in John chapter 4. She married 5 times, and now she lives with a man without even marrying. I mean, you know, after 5 times, she probably said, well, what's the use? But Jesus comes to meet her at the well. In the Old Testament, we read numerous times how man meets his wife at the well. Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they met their wives at the well. So what are we looking at? Jesus coming to the well to meet this woman. She now sees her eternal husband. No longer. Not like those 5 husbands who disappointed her. This eternal husband will never disappoint her. She will be completely satisfied in this husband. And this is our story. This is your story. God came to marry you, even though you played harlot. Second Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now we're running out of time, so let us go quickly here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2, Paul says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy, for I betroth you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." This is an amazing verse. Even though played harlot, in Jesus Christ, we are pure virgin, as if we never sinned, as if we never played harlot. This is our eternal reality in Christ. So no matter how much you sinned, when you marry to Jesus Christ, you are marrying Him as a pure virgin, because all your sins have been cleansed and you have His righteousness. This is what the gospel tells us. That's why we're so happy. In terms of Old Testament marriage, then, we have been engaged with Jesus Christ, and during the church age is the preparation time. Now our husband will come and receive his wife unto himself and take us to his house forever and ever, and at his house there will be an eternal feast and heavenly banquet. Do you understand? This is your story. As people who are already engaged with Christ, we are legally His wife. He is our husband already. And spiritually speaking, all has been accomplished. And this husband will never forsake you. He will always eternally satisfy you perfectly and completely. Not like today's man, who is so cowardly, leaves his family. This eternal husband will never forsake you. He loves you with his life. Even though he knows our filth, he knows what we have done, and yet he still loves us and will love us forever and ever. And this is our heavenly reality. There is an eternal wedding in heaven. Husband is Jesus, the bride is church. We are already living the married life with Christ. All will be visibly consummated when he returns. And brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, understand the life that you live in Christ and the relationship that you have with him. You're married. See, I believe once a Christian woman understands that she is married, then she will not play with other men. Because she understands that she's married. That she has a husband. This is what we're talking about. I want all of us to understand that we are already married. We cannot play harlot with this world. We cannot play with other men. You have to be faithful to Christ, who is your eternal husband. Yeah, I know all of you hate that. When you see an adulterer, I know you're going to say something. And yet, you yourself live that kind of life spiritually. That just doesn't make any sense. I want you to understand that Jesus knows us completely and he loves us forever. Let me read you a few verses here. Isaiah 43. Listen to this. Isaiah 43 verse 1. But now thus says the Lord your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear. For I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Just like, you know, when you go to high school, you know, this girl and boy, they fall in love, whether they know what love is or not, and they say, you're mine. Do you hear God saying that to you? You are mine. That's what God says. You are mine. Isaiah 49, verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, but I will not forget you. How can mother forget her child? But sometimes that happens. Even that happens, God will not forget you. He even counts our hair. He loves us so much. He loves us with his life. He gave his life for us. And brothers and sisters, we too love him until death, forever and ever. And I want you to listen to these Psalms. And these are your own confession in Jesus Christ. Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. This is your confession. Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate upon his temple. in his temple. Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you see this is your confession? How much do you love your God? This is what our salvation is all about. God loving you to death, and we love him to death. This is your eternal heavenly reality. We, with our husband, live forever and ever, loving him and him loving us. Just as a husband and wife become one flesh, Jesus and us become one spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Very, very important here. Chapter 6, verse 16. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Just like husband and wife become one flesh, Jesus and the church, we become one spirit. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, with a loud voice then shout with joy, praise him, worship him, and enjoy him now and forever. Brothers and sisters, whenever you feel down, whenever you feel you do not have what it takes to go on, come to this passage, Revelation 19, verse 7 through 9. And I want you to see your wedding photos. Come and see your wedding photo. Jesus, your husband, you as his bride. And see and believe. Yes, you are married. And you are always able to come to this passage and see your wedding photo. He loves you, and he will not forsake you. He will take care of you, and he is already doing that. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Your love is indeed amazing. Your grace is amazing grace. How can you, Holy God, love a filthy sinner like us? And yet, that is exactly what we read in your word. You love us. You love us so much that you would even die for us. We love you. And we thank you that we are already married to you. Let us love our husband, and let us be faithful to him, now and forever. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.